chapter 6, beginning at verse 7. This is the beginning of what's known as the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is presenting an expanded discourse on basically how to live biblically. So again, one of those things is to be a people of prayer. The disciples had asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. We heard that in Luke's version last week. This morning we hear the parallel version of this in Matthew's Gospel. This is the only two places in the New Testament where the Lord's Prayer is found, in Luke and in Matthew. So today we hear Matthew's account. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 7. When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is the word of the Lord. Just to give you a sense of my own background in terms of biblical illiteracy, I remember early on that someone heard the Lord's Prayer. I said, wow, that's a great prayer. I wonder where it comes from. I'm like, well, it's in the Bible. That was the extent of our Bible knowledge. It's in the Bible. We are looking this year at living biblically. What does it mean to live according to biblical teaching, biblical principles? Particularly during Lent, we're looking at the discipline of prayer. And if we're going to look at prayer, we need to look at the Lord's Prayer. When the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. This is what he told them. So this is how you should pray like this. As I shared again last week and earlier, that when I first started this, I was going to present one sermon on the Lord's Prayer, and I just realized there's just too much. So last week we spent a whole sermon, a whole series on
our needs.
Give us this day our daily bread. Thank you. Epiusius, yes. Give us this day our daily bread. Turned out to be a lot more complicated than I originally thought. So give us this day our daily bread was last week. So this week we're looking at lead us not into temptation. Lead us not. I mean, how many, all our lives, some of us pray this prayer. Lead us not into temptation. Well, recently the Pope, you saw this in the news, the Pope had suggested that we might change the English translation of this prayer. Seemingly the idea being that, well, of course, we can't believe that God would lead us into temptation, so why would we even pray such a thing? The suggestion was made that instead of lead us not into temptation, to say something like, do not let us enter into temptation. Lord, do not let us enter into temptation. That sounds pretty good, a little bit different than lead us not into temptation. But it eliminates that idea that God actually would lead us into temptation. I mean, that's something that the devil does, right? So why would we pray to God to lead us not into temptation? And yet, the word-for-word translation in the Greek text, both in Matthew and in Luke, that's exactly what it says. If you go word-for-word, and lead, the Greek word for lead, us, Greek word for not, I'm not going to try to pronounce these, into, and then temptation. Temptation is the most important word of that. I think it's perosmon. Perosmon, the Greek word for temptation. So lead us not into temptation. But word for word, that is what the Greek text says. And so we seem to have a direct conflict with that and what we just heard from James's letter, where James said, let me put this up again, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. Because God does not tempt people. So how do we say, Lord, lead us not into temptation? Why are we asking him to do something the Bible says he doesn't do? And in fact, in Luke chapter 17, verse 1, Jesus said this, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come." Pretty strong statement. So what are we to think? On one hand, we pray that something would not happen, and on the other hand, we're told that, well, God doesn't do this anyway. Well, the thing is, we have to look at this Greek word for temptation, kerasmon. Let me put this up. Basically, what we're saying is, lead us not into kerasmon. Kerasmon is the Greek word there. Kerasmon, as other Greek words, can have multiple meanings. It can also mean a trial or to test. Which again is kind of similar. You think of a temptation in a sense really is kind of testing, right? And so it could be lead us not into trials or time of trial. Or it could be lead us not into a time of testing. So we discover that each of these meanings is possible if we look at various scripture passages that include this word. Last week we had a challenge when we said give us this day our daily bread, because the Greek word for daily was a made-up word. It was found nowhere else in all the Greek language or the rest of the scriptures. But today, that's not the case. This kerasmon word is in lots of places. And so we can look at lots of references to better understand, because the scriptures will be consistent if we try to understand the meaning. And so we look, for instance, at what I think is a very profound passage, Matthew 26, verse 41, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now you think, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus has entered into his passion. It's the night before he's going to be crucified. His words are really, really important at this point. What did he tell his disciples when they went into the garden to pray? He said, watch and pray you may not enter kerasmon, temptation. Watch and pray that you not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's that same word is what Jesus uses in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, in Matthew's Gospel, it's important because it's included in the account of the Garden of Gethsemane. In Luke's Gospel, it's also included, but Luke adds another dimension to it, that in Luke, Jesus actually mentions it twice. If you know, he went off three times to pray. He comes back the first time, he sees him, he says, watch and pray that you will not enter temptation. Goes off and prays again, comes back and again tells them, watch and pray that you do not enter into temptation. So not only is the context important, but the fact that he repeated it in Luke's Gospel twice. This is really something important. Watch and pray that you will not enter into temptation, kerasmon. It would seem that what Jesus was telling the disciples at this point is that you are about to have your faith tested in a major way. And pray that the Father would give you the strength to stand up to the testing of your faith. Now we see specifically in Peter's case that he did not stand up to the test of his faith. In fact, he denied three times that he knew Jesus. So it's like Peter should have done more praying and less sleeping. Of course, how would he have known? He had no idea what this was coming to him. Jesus told him time and time again, but he had no idea. But certainly he did not withstand that test of his faith and denied our Lord three different times. Testing by God in the Bible is not unique. In fact, it's pretty consistent. We think back to the testing of Abraham. Remember when God told Abraham to sacrifice his own son Isaac, his only son Isaac, after all these years they were waiting to have this child. And now God says, I want you to sacrifice Isaac. And so he goes and ends up doing it. And God, the angel stops his hand just at the last moment. But we're told specifically in the scriptures, God was testing him. He said, now I know that you will obey me in all things. A number of times as the Israelites are wandering through the wilderness, God tests them to see if they would be faithful. We saw that again last week with the manna coming down. Would God test them that they would just keep for the day? They wouldn't try to store up manna for the next day? Because God said, don't do that. Well, they tried to anyway. What happened? Well, the manna came all wormy and stunk. But on the day before the Sabbath, they collected double portion, and in fact, it did not stink or mildew. But it was a test. It clearly says, I'm testing you to see if you will follow in my ways. And time again, God's people have failed that test. So that's an important thing to say, that Jesus would be telling us, you know, be careful about that time of testing. In fact, in James chapter 1, verse 2, we hear this. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet various trials. That's that word, basic word, trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing, same root word, perisman, the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. So again, we see this word is occurring time and time again. Testing or temptation or to try or to prove our faith is the same word, perisman, that's being used. Now, other scholars go even further and suggest that Jesus maybe had been talking about the end times, in which case we would interpret Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Jesus is writing the letters to the churches, the seven churches, in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation. This is the letter to the church in Philadelphia. Jesus writes and says that you have been obedient to my commands, therefore I will keep you from the hour of trial, here's that good word, that is coming upon the whole world to try, same root word, those who dwell on the earth. Let me read that again. I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming upon the whole world to try those who live on the earth. The same root word, perasmon, is used twice in that verse. And so that's also a reasonable expectation as we try to understand. What are we saying when we say, Lord, lead us not into temptation? Well, I think the best explanation comes from Paul in his letter to the Corinthians. This is what Paul wrote. And again, where we see the word temptation or trial, it's that same root word, perasmon. Paul wrote this, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. This again, Paul's talking about faith. You know, we think we're pretty good at the faith, we think we're strong. He says, watch out, lest you might fall. He says, no temptation, there's that word, has overtaken you that's not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. I want to step aside because this is such an important scriptural passage. I know for so many people who are struggling with trials and challenges and there's things going on in our lives and there's sometimes we just feel like we're at the breaking point. I just can't take any more. And somebody will come up and say, oh, no, wait a minute. God will not allow you to be tested upon your ability to bear it. Not always very helpful, right? I mean, it's like, I sure don't feel that, right? No. God will not allow you, to be tested beyond your ability to endure it. How many times have we struggled and wrestled with that verse? And it's just taken out of context. It's just, now, not that God won't answer that, but let's read again what this says. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but, with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So if we're under this tremendous pressure, this tremendous trial, I think I just can't take any more, but God said he won't give me more than I can bear, what we need to do is the second part, but he will provide a way of escape that you may be able to. So we look for that. Lord, what is that escape? What is that way? What is that thing? Again, the principle of participation, God says, I'll do this, but you need to do that. What is that escape we're looking for? Lord, I'm under this. It's overwhelming me. I'm at the breaking point. Where's the escape, Lord? That's what we look for. That's what we look for. He will give you a escape, a place to somehow deal with it, that you may be able to endure the trial. So that's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. We need to read the whole verse. And if somebody says to you, oh, God won't tempt you beyond your ability to endure it, just tell me, go back and read the Bible, see what the whole verse says, okay? I would still find this a comforting verse, I hope so, because he's not going to allow us to the breaking point, but he will find a way of escape that we would be able to endure it. And so, very important verse there. But anyway, again, what Paul is talking about is the risk of losing our faith. And that's what Jesus was talking to the apostles about in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, pray that you won't enter into temptation. You won't get in to the testing of your faith. That seemed to be what Jesus was talking about. That seems to be what Paul is saying here in 1 Corinthians. And so we see multiple meanings for this prayer. Suggestions of, Father, keep us from losing faith when times get tough and our faith is tested. Sounds like a very reasonable interpretation. Also, Father, help us not to give in to temptations to sin. That's certainly possible too, right? There's temptations to get to sin. Lord, please keep us from, you know, opening up the internet and watching what I shouldn't be watching. Or forgive me from looking in through this catalog, because I know I'm going to see stuff in there. I'm going to see that outfit I've been dying to get. I know I can't afford it, but I'm going to look through this catalog just to kind of glance through it, even though I know I can't afford the stuff that's in here, right? Temptations to sin, because we do end up doing things we shouldn't. Certainly that's true and very a good translation. And the third one, finally, Father, save us from the time of trial that's about to come on the whole world. This is an interesting one because, again, if that's the meaning of our prayer to God, and it doesn't matter what's in our heart, Lord, save me from the time of trial that's going to come on the whole world. Again, the commentary I was reading, that basically some people are interpreting this in terms of the being taken up into heaven. Okay? That God, before this time of trial is coming, he might take us up into heaven. The rapture. So that some people in the commentary look at that and said, basically we're saying, Lord, be sure to rapture me up to the clouds, you know, before this time of trial comes. So maybe that's what we're praying. Lord, save us from the time of trial that's about to come on the whole world. All of those, I think, are very reasonable, very good interpretations. The question is, what is in my heart when I'm praying, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Now, having said that, I want to share with you that this has been an unusual week for me. Usually I have these and I pray about them, I meditate all week, and I've certainly done that, and this really started more than this week. For several weeks I've been praying and praying about this, reading about the Lord's Prayer and so forth. And last night I finished the sermon outline and I gave you copies of them. The sermon outline's done, I usually have that sense of, okay, I've got it. I prayed about it, the Lord gave it to me, and I've got it, now it's in this outline, I just need to go tomorrow and deliver this this talk. And yet last night when I finished, it's like I just had an uneasiness in my spirit. And I had kind of a restless night because of it. 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm calling out to the Lord, Lord, Father, lead us not, Lord, Father, what does it mean? Lead us not into temptation. Somehow I had not captured it in what I had already put into the sermon outline. But it was already printed up, you know, and I had it all folded and everything. And now I'm crying out to the Lord, what does this really mean? I feel like I've missed something. At 6 o'clock this morning, I was reading a sermon by Charles Spurgeon on this very verse, lead us not into temptation. Charles Spurgeon, the prince of preachers back in the English times, and just classic. Charles Spurgeon made a very important warning about this. He said, beware of those who will try to take the words of Scripture and twist or turn them to meet your own meaning and understanding. And I'm like, ugh. I mean, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm looking at the specifics, the literal, you know, word by word. I'm saying, yeah, it's got to mean something else. And I felt so convicted by that, because that's what I said. That's what people do. I said, you know, basically, heaven help us if we start twisting the words of Scripture and trying to get meaning out of it. It's not in there. And I think in a sense, even though rightly so, I think that's what the Pope is trying to propose. He's like, yeah, it's too harsh for us to think that God's leading us into temptation, so we need to change it to make it say really something else. Just lead us away from temptation or save us from falling into temptation, but certainly not lead us into temptation. And Spurgeon went on to give his analysis of this text. And basically what he came to say is the Bible says what it means. Oh, wow. The Bible says what it means. Lead us not into temptation. That's the exact interpretation. That's the words, word for word. He said that's what God meant. He said it twice. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible means. Now again, we cannot understand what does it mean, temptation, but the fact God does lead us into temptations. Now here's an important distinction I think is valid. God does not tempt us. That's something the devil does, or as we heard, our own desires tempt us. But God will lead us into that time. What did he do to Jesus after he was baptized? Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days. Who sent him into the wilderness for 40 days? The Holy Spirit. Why did the Holy Spirit send Jesus into the wilderness? To be tempted by the devil. And I'm like, oh my goodness. God does lead us into temptation. He does lead us into time of testing. He allows the devil. The devil does nothing that God doesn't allow. That's certainly the case with Job. Remember that? God allowed that to happen. So that gets back then, what are we praying? Lord, lead us not into temptation. Well, Spurgeon went on to talk about, again, there's small things we can talk about. Don't let me look on things I shouldn't be looking at, or let me, you know, be tempted to buy things I shouldn't be buying. That's certainly true. But he said there's bigger things than that. He said, for instance, consider the temptation, the testing of poverty. What if I were to lose all my earthly wealth and goods and, you know, the stock market crash, my 401k, you know, falls apart, my portfolio goes to nothing, somehow I lose my home? How would I respond to God in that scenario? Would I still say, yes, you are my God, I love you, I focus on you? Wow. What a temptation testing that would be, would it not? What about our own physical health? If I were somehow lose my health and I'm in the testing of sickness and illness, in the midst of that, would I still cling to Jesus Christ as my Savior and say, Lord, I know this is happening, I know it's difficult, but you are still my Savior, I still love you, I'm devoted to you and to nothing else in all the world? And what about the testing, the temptation of relationships that fall apart? We know loved ones who are hurting and crying out, Lord, where are you? That can test our faith, can it not? And so in all of this, Spurgeon was saying, I think it's rightly so, lead us not into temptations, or lead me not into the temptation of poverty. Lead me not into, I don't want the temptation of sickness, Lord. I don't want the temptation of all these relationships around me just seem to be crumbling apart. I don't want this, Lord. Please don't lead me into it. And yet, Spurgeon makes the connection with the very next verse, which I'm going to think I do next week. But deliver us from the evil one. So if he does lead us into this time of testing, this temptation, don't let the enemy come in and twist and turn and lead us into sin that is even worse. So that's I think, a very valid thing that Spurgeon is saying. But I think the other part is even the bigger part. Lead us not into temptation. Lead us. We don't want to be in sickness. We don't want. But this is the meaning of praying in the name of Jesus. Lord, lead me not into temptation. But if you do, not my will, but thy will be done. Can we say that? Can we say that? That's what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, I don't want this testing. None of us does. But if for some reason, some way, God says, no, you need to go through this because I'm going to do something with this. It's like, okay then, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I'm like, wow. Wow. I've been praying this prayer all my life and I had no idea what I was praying. Do I want temptation? No, I don't. And we ask God, no, Lord, please don't make me go through that. But if he does, there'll be a reason. And he will be with us, and he will bless it somehow, some way, for his purpose. And so I repented, trying to twist the words of Scripture. I mean, other things, yes, are certainly valid, you know, ways to look at it. But ultimately what it is, yes, Lord, please don't lead me into this. But if you do, your will be done. And I believe you will bless it. And you will use it for your good, somehow, some way. Brothers and sisters, we really need these teachings because you know what? The kingdom of God is upon us. Talk about a time of testing, boy. Yeah. Will our faith stay strong? Will we stay focused on Jesus? If we do, the best is yet to come. Because he is faithful and he will not leave us or depart from us. Because God really does love us more than we can imagine. Someone please close us in prayer.
Lord, thank you for this most inspiring word today. Thank you for the depth that you have revealed. Thank you that you are always with us. Thank you that in those times when we're so tested, thank you that you are there and that we can still hold on to you.
Yes.
Thank you that, as Job, we can say, even though you slay me, yet I will trust in you.
Yes.
Lord, increase our trust in you. In the good times, build our faith. In the valleys, when things are deep and dark, help us to see the mountains ahead. Help us to see your glory revealed. Help us, Lord, to cling to you in good times and in times that aren't so good. And help us, Lord, when we meet the brothers and sisters who are going through those trials, those temptations, those testings, that we just don't say so easily, oh, but God will not tempt you. But to listen to them, Lord, to hear them, and to lift them to you. For you are our source, you are our comfort, you are our strength, you are our strong support, and you give us our trust.